My sense,
Blog Talk Radio.
Our hour is going to go by very, very quickly today.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
You know, Greg, I love the fact that you've got this scientific background. I view you as somebody who is one who is looking at the cutting-edge thought about science, but combining it with leading-edge connection or reconnection to, you know, our source, to our true nature. And I love the fact that you're combining these things. Now, Greg, in your latest book, Deep Truth, you know, you've got a lot of scientific information in there, but this is not geared towards scientists per se. This is geared towards the mainstream. Why did you choose to write a book to reach many?
Wow, that's a big question. We'll start with the easy question. You know, my sense is that science is actually very simple. I know for a lot of people, when they hear the word science or something related to one of the physical sciences, their eyes kind of glaze over because of their experience of science. And more often than not, that experience is that science is shared in a language that's very complex, very wordy.
Mm-hmm.
It is very technical. And many people simply feel left out of the conversation.
Right.
I'm just going to back up about a half a step. I was born and raised in the Midwest, in northern Missouri.
Oh, wow.
It was a pretty conservative community, and I believed as a child that everybody believed the same way that I did. We simply didn't talk about it frequently, and my belief was that there was no separation between science and spirituality. I always believed that when we study things like geology and biology and physics and chemistry, that's the name that we give to the study, but what we're actually studying are the deepest, most inner workings of nature and of a greater force that underlies all of reality.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I was in the corporations in the 1970s that my first time was the first energy crisis of the 1970s.
Sure, I remember that.
Yeah, Phillips Petroleum. And I remember having a conversation with colleagues and supervisors, and what they said is that I had to make a choice. They said that science and spirituality are mutually exclusive of one another. I must either choose the path of science or spirituality. So here's what happened, and this is the long answer to your very brief question, is that when I would have conversations with my colleagues, what I found is that they were interested in the same things that I was interested in, but they felt excluded by the language of spirituality, and in that time, during that time, a lot of what was called New Age, they felt excluded.
Uh-huh.
And so I actually wrote my very first book. It was called Awakening the Zero Point, self-published, and the purpose of that book was to bridge the language of science and spirituality. So rather than talking about the energy center and the chakras of the human body or, the prana and the life force of the Sanskrit traditions, we were talking about electromagnetic fields generated by the cells.
Yes.
Precisely the same thing, very different language. And all of a sudden they were excited. They felt included, and they wanted to participate. And what happened was that little book got Xeroxed, and at that time Xeroxed, and passed around the world. It started showing up on battleships in the Mediterranean.
Oh, my goodness.
People would send it to their brothers or sisters or, their fiancés that were in, stationed overseas.
So, in other words, there was a hunger for this connection between science and spirituality.
There was so much of a demand for this that I took it to the next step. And even though every one of the books and others that you've mentioned, it's a different topic, the common through line for all of these bodies of information is that they help us to know ourselves. And my sense is that the better we know ourselves, the better we can solve the problems that we're facing individually and as communities in the world today.
So, you know, you mentioned the problems that we're facing. What are you feeling about what's going on right now in the world? Is it just more of the same old, or are we at a breaking point?
No, absolutely not. And actually, I have a newer book, even, that will be released in January, that addresses this very point. And the title of the book, I think, is probably the answer to your question. It's called The Turning Point, Creating Resilience in a Time of Extremes.
Ooh, I like that.
And the reason I chose that title is because the best minds of our time are telling us no uncertain terms that we are, in fact, living a time that is different. It is unique. It is a time of extremes, and not necessarily bad things or even good things, just big things. Big things are happening in the world, and that means big things are happening in our lives. And if we're not honest with ourselves about the changes that are happening, this is the question that I ask in the book. How can we deal with the magnitude of change that we face if we're not honest with ourselves about those changes?
Right.
So the extremes are many extremes, but they fall into broad categories. Climate change is certainly one of those. The buckling and the collapsing of a global system of economics is another.
Sure.
And energy, peak oil, which is now past, we reached peak oil in the mid-1980s. And what is coming after that and how that affects everything from the price of the food at the grocery store and on our dinner table to the ticket that we pay for the bus or the taxi that gets us back and forth to work.
Sure.
And the key here is that we can no longer separate big changes in the world from our everyday lives as we maybe thought we could in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a time that is unique, and there are a lot of reasons that make it unique. We're not being given the full story in mainstream media, and that makes it difficult for us to really effectively make room for the changes in our lives that are happening in the world. And that this is where the keys that I share in the book, Deep Truth, the new discoveries that give us new ways to think about ourselves, and then the book that no one's seen yet, that comes out in January, the keys to the resilience, the personal and the community resilience that allow us to thrive in our time of extremes. So,
yeah.
Again, that was a long answer to a short question, but we can now build on that through the rest of our hour.
Yes, and, you know, as a former research statistician, I always viewed statistics as a way of sort of estimating truth. And I, too, have been very frustrated with the lack of truth within science. And we're going to get into that and what you share in your book, Deep Truth, about these false assumptions when we return here with Greg Braden on the Christine Upchurch Show.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breaths to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Would you like to transform your life and help create a brighter future for our planet? On November 16th, join inspiring visionaries Dr. Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden here in Seattle to get your shifts together, exploring the science of personal and global transformation. Come learn the latest about the nexus between science and spirituality and gain new insights to help positively shift your own world and the world beyond. For more information about this exciting event, go to drjoedispenza.com.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your soul suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Greg Braden. He's the author of the book Deep Truth, and I'm going to read the whole title, Deep Truth, Igniting the Memory of Our Origin, History, Destiny, and Fate. Now, Greg, you know, we were talking about some of the false assumptions. Can you share with us how we're being misguided by science and the media right now?
I'm happy to do that. And before we even do that, I want to share some good news.
What's that?
So let's do the good news first. The good news is that it is a fact that we're living a time of extremes. And within that context, we already have the solutions for all of the big problems that we face. Technologically, we have the technological solutions to feed every mouth of every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth right now. There is no shortage of food when it comes to the numbers of people that we have, at least today. It's not the food and its availability. It's the problem. It's the thinking that's preventing that food, the politics, the economics that are preventing that food from getting where it's needed. We already have clean, green, sustainable forms of energy that produce no carbon dioxide from sources that are abundant, they're inexpensive, and could power the home of every human on the face of the earth that chooses to have electricity in their homes. So I'm saying this, and I think it's important to know, that we have the solutions. And so people say, well, if we have them, where are we now? And I think it leads to an even greater crisis, the unspoken crisis, that we seldom even hear about in our news cycles, in our media. It's a crisis in thinking.
Okay.
And this is important because we solve our problems individually, when it comes to our marriages, our jobs, our careers, our health, between nations, regardless of what scale, we solve our problems based upon the way we think of ourselves and our relationship to the world around us.
And are being willing to face our own truth.
Well, absolutely. And this is where the answer to your question comes in. For 5,000 years, our indigenous ancestors, they answered a fundamental question that we all must answer on some level as individuals, as communities, as nations, as a civilization. It's a deceptively simple question, and it is simply this: who are we? Who are we, or who am I? Who am I? We must answer this as individuals. And I'm not suggesting we talk about it every morning at the breakfast table or that, you know, it's a topic at the water fountain in the office, but at some level throughout our lives, we've got to answer this question. For 5,000 years, our indigenous ancestors have answered the question in non-scientific terms, but in ways that work for them and were actually very accurate.
Such as?
Such as helping us to understand the deep connectivity between us, the earth, one another, with our own bodies. But science, and I'm just going to preface this. I was trained as a scientist. I think science is good. I believe in the scientific method. And I'm also very honest. I'm a realist. Science doesn't have all the answers.
Yes.
And science can only serve us to the degree that we allow science to be honest in our society.
Mm.
And a lot of science now has been hijacked by politics, by money, by ego, by habit, when it comes to reprinting the same textbooks with the same information generation after generation.
Right.
Science is a relatively young way of describing our world. It's only about 300 years old. We say science began about the time of Isaac Newton,
right,
when he formalized the laws of physics.
Yeah, Apple hit him on the head, and the rest is history.
And that's it. So the reason this is important is because for 300 years, science has offered us a story that answers the question, who are we? And it's the story of separation. It's told us essentially that the origin of life is completely random, the origin of human life is completely random, that we're separate and powerless when it comes to our relationship with our bodies and healing our own bodies.
Sure.
We're separate and disconnected from the world around us, but what we do to the earth has no effect upon what happens to us and our quality of life. It's told us that civilization itself is a one-time deal. It's linear. It began about 5,000 years ago. We're the pinnacle of sophistication when it comes to technology, and told us that nature, the fundamental law of nature itself, is based upon what we today call competition, violent competition, and scarcity and struggle.
Sure, like the Darwinian perspective, survival of the fittest.
Absolutely. So when we answer the question, or when we ask ourselves, who am I, or who are we collectively, we have used this scientific story of separation to answer that, and the consequences, Christine, of doing that are the world that we live in today.
Mm-hmm.
It's the world, the economic system, the global economic system that is collapsing is one that is based upon survival of the strongest, the corporate system, survival of the strongest, the way that we treat one another in our jobs, in our careers, in our academics, and even in our deepest, most interpersonal relationships often revert back to this idea of competition and survival of the strongest and separation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the flip side of that is new discoveries have overturned every one of those ideas that I just shared.
Okay, so that's really important, and I think a lot of people have not heard about this. Can you give us some examples?
Sure. Well they haven't, and the reason they haven't is because there is a reluctance and, in many cases, an outright resistance in mainstream media, classrooms, mainstream textbooks to share this information. So the consequence of that is that we have an entire generation being raised and steeped in the false assumptions of 300 years of science, asking them to solve the problems that we have today with the same thinking led to the problems. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
So some examples. We now know, and I'll just list these, and we can explore these to whatever degree we have time for in this segment. When it comes to the origins of life and the origins of human life, new discoveries are telling us that we are not random, that the DNA specifically is telling us that there is an intentionality, and the geneticists themselves are the ones that are telling us this, particularly when it comes to the chromosome, human chromosome number 2.
Now, this is really, really important. I had never heard this until I read this in your book. So what is it about this particular chromosome that indicates that there's something different that's happened to create humans?
Sure, and in all honesty, we probably cannot do justice to the whole topic in this conversation, but the origin of life, the physical, the fossil evidence doesn't support the story that we've been told. It doesn't support Darwin's story when it comes to humans. Now, I want to be really clear on this. I'm a geologist. Mm-hmm. I was trained as a geologist, and I've seen evolution in the fossil record, and it is a fact. For some forms of life, some plants, some animals, it breaks down. This idea breaks down when it comes to humans. Now, I don't know what did happen, but what I know is the story we're being told is not supported by the data that is now being revealed. And I'm not suggesting we throw all of the old ideas out of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is, why not share with our young people everything? Share Darwin's ideas, share the new discoveries so that the young people know that this isn't an open and shut case, that they still have the potential to contribute and solve some of the deepest mysteries of our existence.
Right.
And I think that's important. We can come back to this, but what I want to say is the origin of life is now, the data doesn't support that it's random. The origin of human life, the data doesn't support that it's random. Our relationship to our body, the data strongly suggests that we are deeply connected, that our thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs stemming from our heart-brain connection actually trigger the chemistry that's released into our bodies based upon the quality of our emotions and our thoughts and our beliefs.
Uh-huh.
That changes everything.
Yeah.
Our relationship to the world around us, quantum physics, is now showing us beyond any reasonable doubt that we are deeply connected to the world around us. There's very little controversy over whether or not the connection exists. That is a fact. The controversy now is to what degree are we connected to our world? How much influence do we have over the world beyond our own bodies? Archaeology now is showing us, when we look at the technological civilizations of the past, that we're not the first. Advanced civilization is at least twice as old as we've been led to believe, and the evidence is now pushing the dates for advanced technological civilization into the end of the last ice age about 13,000 years ago.
Wow.
And the big one for me that ties into to Darwin's idea of the origins of life is that our own science, the best science of our time, is now showing us beyond any reasonable doubt that nature is based upon this model that is called cooperation and mutual aid, not survival of the strongest, as we've been led to believe since Darwin's time about 150 years ago. So while we see competition, when we have to be honest with ourselves, we obviously see violent competition
sure.
in nature around us. The key here is that that is in response to specific conditions. It is not the general rule of nature, and that changes everything
and
about the way we treat our bodies and the way we deal with problems between nations.
Right. So what kind of evidence is there that it's really more about cooperation and not competition?
Well, I'm just going to say everything that I've just said, and again, I know these are big ideas and a very different way of thinking for a lot of people. It's not based on my opinion or my theory
mm-hmm.
or my hypotheses. Everything that I've shared is documented in peer-reviewed scientific literature. So it's not some fringe science, scientist on the edge of the earth, trying to support his beliefs with a particular form of science. It's peer-reviewed science.
So you're not interpreting it or changing it. You're just reporting it.
I'm sharing with our listeners today and with those people that are interested and answering the question, honestly, who am I? And who are we? When we go to answer that question based upon the best science of our day, it overturns 300 years of scientific thinking. That changes the way we think about ourselves. That changes the way we go about solving our problems. And it gives us a doorway of possibility and hope when we go about solving problems of our time of extremes. We're in uncharted territory, things we've never had to deal with a collapsing global economy. We've dealt with individual economies, not a collapsing global economy. We've never had to deal with global climate change with 7 billion people living on the planet. We've never had to deal with peak oil. And how do we treat one another as we go through these scenarios? So the way we answer these questions gives us the reason to approach these problems with fresh new ideas, and they're reasons that are based in sound science rather than just grabbing at straws. And I think that's important. So we covered a lot of ground, and I wanted to lay all those out. Now we can go back and talk about any of these. You asked about cooperation, for example.
Well, we're going to go to a quick break right now, but when we return, more with Greg Braden. If you were looking for that one-of-a-kind store, then you should check out one of my favorite places. A wonderful shop called Utopia. At Utopia, you'll find a wide array of beautiful and unique jewelry, home accessories, and gifts made by artisans here in the Northwest at affordable prices. Escape the ordinary and find your way to Utopia. In Redmond Town Center, open 7 days a week, and online at utopianorthwest.com. That's utopianorthwest.com.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunities for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. Would you like to transform your life and help create a brighter future for our planet? On November 16th, join inspiring visionaries Dr. Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden here in Seattle to Get Your Shifts Together, exploring the science of personal and global transformation. Come learn the latest about the nexus between science and spirituality and gain new insights to help positively shift your own world and the world beyond. For more information about this exciting event, go to drjoedispenza.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, AM 1150, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with Greg Braden. He's the author of Deep Truth and many other books, including The Divine Matrix, which is one of my all-time favorites as well. And, you know, we were talking about, I'm not going to get into what we're talking about. First, I want to say to those of you who are in the Seattle area, and I know there are many of you listening right now, Greg is actually coming to Seattle. He's got an event coming up with Dr. Joe Dispenza. It's November 16th. Is that right, Greg?
That is right. It's the 15th and 16th, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just it's one-day event, I believe.
16th, okay.
Yeah.
You know more than I do about my event.
Well, you know, I actually put an ad together for it, and yeah. And you know, it's on Greg's website. I know it's on Dr. Joe Dispenza's website as well, and it's actually on my website as well, on my radio show page. And it's great because you and Joe are two thought leaders, and but you look at things a little differently. I love the fact that you two are coming together.
Well, I have tremendous respect for Joe, and I've known him for a number of years. There are some times when people like to work together, and sometimes when it makes sense for them to work together.
Uh-huh.
And with Dr. Joe and myself, I think it makes a lot of sense because we are good friends, and it opens the door to sharing on very, very different levels the empowering message of what science, the new science, doesn't have to be technical, but but the science reveals the facts. It shows us what works and what doesn't, so we can do more of the things that work and forget about the things that don't. And I really love doing that with Joe.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really looking forward to the event. So if you're in the Seattle area, you do not want to miss it. And, in fact, it might be worth flying in for.
It's a multimedia event. People say, what could we possibly do for a full day? I'm going to take this opportunity to go into some of our journeys, into the highlands of central China and Tibet, into the monasteries of the monks and nuns, and what we have found in their traditions that the new science is now supporting and support tremendously and tie into what Dr. Joe has found about the power of the human brain to regulate our bodies in ways that we're only beginning to understand.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. So, again, you don't want to miss it, November 16th at the Center of Spiritual Living here in Seattle. Now, you know, before the break, you were talking about how, this scientific information that you present in Deep Truth and you're presenting here on air is based on peer-reviewed science. If it's based on peer-reviewed science, which means it has to jump through a whole lot of hoops, why haven't we heard about it till now?
That is a great question, and the answer, I'm just going to begin that answer by saying the purpose of me sharing these things is not to make anyone wrong or to make anyone feel guilty about choices that we've made in the past. People ask me that all the time, that, you know, did we collectively make, big mistakes in the past?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we're on a huge learning curve, Christine, and I think we've done the best that we could with what we knew in the past. New science is now giving us the reasons to think differently about ourselves, and the reason that it's not being shared, there are a number of reasons, each of which could be a topic of its own program.
Mm-hmm.
Money is part of it, power,
right.
Ego, habit. I've spoken with college professors who spent 40 years teaching the principles of Darwinian theory. And they say, they actually said to me, if I were to share these new discoveries, it would invalidate my entire teaching career. And what I said to them is, I said, you know, I don't see it that way. I believe that you're being honest with your students and sharing with them the value of science that is always updating itself.
Yes. Good science, at least, is.
Yeah, this is the key. And the money. They say, well, think how much it would cost to reprint all the textbooks in the world. You know, and certainly politics and power play into this. So for me, what makes this time so different, it generally takes a generation to change the way that we think about ourselves. Mm-hmm. When a new discovery is made in one generation, it usually takes until the next generation for those discoveries to be really embraced. The thing is, we are now dealing in what is being called the time of extremes. We don't mm-hmm. have that luxury
right.
of that generation's length of time. We must make the choices now for our future, and in some cases our very survival. And how can we make those choices if we're not honest with ourselves about what we're dealing with? That is why these new discoveries are so important. They are accepted within the scientific circles, peer-reviewed scientific circles. They're simply not being shared broadly outside in academia and in mainstream media.
Right. Okay, well, let's take one of these things, like age of civilization. You mentioned that before the break before.
Yeah, I did, and it actually ties into so many of the others. When I was in school, when our listeners were in school, if you have young people in school right now, I'll speak directly to our listeners. We have been taught that civilization, modern civilization, began about 5,000 to 5,500 years ago during the time of ancient Sumeria, that everything that we study, whether it's Egypt or Greece or Rome or the Mayas or the Incas or whatever it is all more recent than that. And I remember asking my professor when I was in college, I looked at this map from 5,500 years to the present, to the right. There's where all the action is.
Mm-hmm.
5,500 years to the left, it was a big empty space. I said, what was happening here? He said, don't even waste your time. Don't even think about it. Don't worry about it.
Right.
And now it's telling the story. New archaeological discoveries are revealing the evidence of advanced technological civilizations back into the end of the last ice age, 12 to 13,000 years ago. It's simply not being shared in the classrooms.
So advanced technology.
Yeah, and it is. It's advanced. These people had architecture. They had mathematics. They knew astronomy, in some cases better than we knew until satellite technology in the 20th century. They knew about star systems that we didn't know about. They knew about the orbits of the planets. And here's the thing. Our ancient ancestors understood cycles of nature, and they allowed for cycles of change in their lives. They allowed for it. They built it into their worldview. Science has led us to believe that our world is more or less a linear,
right.
And that the world as it is right now is the end to all of the end to all of the means that have preceded us, rather than seeing our world today as a stepping stone
mm-hmm.
to something better, as a bridge to a better world. So when our world goes through big changes, such as we're seeing now, whether it's economy or climate or energy cycles or whatever it is, we think of it as a crisis, where our ancestors viewed this as a time of transition to something better. And that's a big shift.
Yeah, and I think that if people can actually view that within their own lives differently, that will help them with the world beyond. Because I think that people often get in the same place, you know, on a personal level. They're having some sort of crisis, and therefore they're feeling defeated and want to sort of recreate the same old that they had before, as opposed to looking at it as an opportunity.
Absolutely. So just a couple quick examples. We've been led to believe that civilization, as I mentioned, began about 5,000 years ago. I personally have just documented a new archaeological, an active excavation in northern Peru. It is called Caral, C-A-R-A-L. It is a 150-acre site, five pyramids, massive pyramids, three huge circular plazas.
Really?
All kinds of evidence of advanced mathematics. But here's the key. That civilization collapsed when we're told that civilization began. It collapsed 5,000 years ago. And I'll just cut to the bottom line. The oldest advanced civilization that is now documented by science is Göbekli Tepe, it is near the Syrian border. It's a difficult place to get into right now because of the war that's happening there.
Sure.
It now is being pushed back 13,000 years before present, and it is rewriting all of the history books. We don't know who the people were that built Göbekli Tepe, but when you begin to look at these civilizations and what they knew then, all of a sudden what we see, Christine, is a continuity of knowledge. So when we look at Egypt and the pyramids or the Yucatan and Mexico and the pyramids,
right.
You say, how do these people know this? How they built it? And there's all kinds of pretty outrageous theories about how it may have happened. The truth may actually be that there has been a passing on of knowledge from the last ice age, at least, and maybe even before that, a continuity of knowledge about us and our relationship to the world. And this is where it gets really, really interesting.
So,
because our civilization, 5,000 years ago, happens to be at the time when war began as well. All of the evidence of the weapons, the walls to defend cities and homes, and large-scale war of one people against another, interestingly, that begins right when we say our civilization begins, and it opens the door to the mystery. The mystery is, in the civilizations before 5,000 years, there is no evidence of large-scale war, no evidence of walls required to defend cities or defend homes, no evidence of weapons. The weapons simply haven't been found. And we have to say one of two things. Either we haven't found these things yet, or these people knew something in their time that we're only beginning to understand. As a scientist, I have to say both those are possible. However, the fact, and we're just barely scratching the surface here, we're talking about civilizations that have been found in Peru, in India, more than one in Turkey. There is another, Çatal Hoyuk, that we didn't even talk about, in Egypt, in China, and as geographically diverse as they are, I would think if there was a weapon to be found, we would have found those weapons by now.
Right.
So the archaeology appears to support what the biology is now telling us, and that is cooperation is the fundamental law of nature, and ancient peoples and civilizations apparently understood this and worked together in ways that we have not since the beginning of our civilization 5,000 years ago. So the question is, what happened 5,000 years ago that triggered this impetus to competition and war? And interestingly enough, the climate change that we're seeing now, we saw a very similar climate change 5,200 years ago, and that is peer-reviewed science as well. So maybe when the climate changed...
Was it coincidental or not?
Yeah, when the climate changed, resources became scarce, people resorted to violent competition then, and the question is, are we following that pattern and doing the same thing now? And if so, what can we learn from the past? And, and that's the value of knowing all of this, I think.
Right. Well, we have to go to another quick break, but when we return, Greg, I'd love to hear your perspective on the hope for the future and possible solutions. We'll return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Would you like to transform your life and help create a brighter future for our planet? On November 16th, join inspiring visionaries Dr. Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden here in Seattle to get your shifts together, exploring the science of personal and global transformation. Come learn the latest about the nexus between science and spirituality and gain new insights to help positively shift your own world and the world beyond. For more information about this exciting event, go to drjoedispenza.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet,
I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day I realized I was consuming foods based on fear. Fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to give your home a fresh look but don't want to do the work? Help is a phone call away. Kathy's Handy is a full-service general contracting company specializing in home improvement, remodeling, and repairs. Kathy's Handy are specialists in kitchens, baths, fireplace makeovers, and finished carpentry, and they partner with other amazing specialty subcontractors needed to complete any job. Friendly, energetic, and dependable with an impeccable reputation to get the job done while keeping you as comfortable as possible during the transformation of your home is the hallmark of Kathy's Handy. Call Kathy now for a free estimate, 206-715-8126. That's 206-715-8126. And visit kathyshandy.com for a complete view of possibilities for your home.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm here today talking with Greg Braden, and the hour is flying by way too quickly. You know, Greg, you've talked about how our perceptions based on old science and our perceptions based on what the media tells us and what the scientific textbooks of, you know, before have been telling us have been incorrect. So here we are at this precipice of change. Why should this change in perception of our scientific truth give us hope for the future?
Well, and I think it's important to keep all this in perspective, and I'm going to reiterate something I said before the break. This isn't about wrongness or rightness. You know, we all know there are some systems that are certainly more honest than others, and that's a reality of our world. But we have to say that the system of the past worked well enough to get us to where we are today.
Right.
So those false assumptions, they worked well enough to get us here, but the problem is the world changed, and the thinking of the past is no longer working in the reality that we're experiencing today. The world changed, and nobody told us.
Uh-huh.
There was no special on CNN or BBC or an expose in a glossy magazine that, you know, that you see in the airport newsstands. People laugh sometimes when I say that, but here's why it's important. So many people that I know, and I'm sure our listeners know people like this, and you've seen them as well, Christine, so many people have a sense that the world was chugging along pretty well until we hit a speed bump. And for some people, that speed bump was 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it was the economic crash of 2008.
Right.
But the thing is, they're waiting, and the expectations are that the world will settle down and get back to normal.
Sure.
They're waiting for us to come down from the other side of the speed bump. So they're clinging to an idea of a world that no longer exists, and they're waiting for that world to come back, and those are the people that I'm seeing struggling and suffering the most. We've never publicly acknowledged through mainstream media that that world is gone, and by not acknowledging it, we have never had the opportunity to mourn the passing of a way of life, a way of thinking, and a world that we thought we mastered pretty well,
right,
so that we can let it go and make room for the new normal that is emerging. And there is a new normal that is emerging, and it is possible to thrive in that normal. And the first step is to acknowledge precisely what we're saying here, that we are living a time of extremes, and the extremes are becoming the normal. And that it is possible to build into our everyday lives the thinking and the living that makes room for those extremes so that we're not caught off guard and that we can thrive, mm-hmm, precisely in this world that's emerging. The science of the past was based in a language of separation.
Right.
And in that language, we all have asked ourselves, consciously or not, a question about every relationship we've ever entered, jobs, partners, healthcare, whatever it is. The bottom line that we've asked is, what can I get from the world that's emerging, or something along those lines?
Or being afraid of what we're not going to get.
Yes. The new science is now telling us that we live in a world where we are deeply connected.
Mm-hmm.
We are deeply enmeshed. We are deeply communal. And that means that that question has to change as well, from what can I get from the world that's emerging. The new question, what can I give, or what can I share, or what can I contribute, what can I offer to the new world that is emerging? Let me just, I'm going to give you a really quick example, concrete example. We live, my wife and I live in a rural community in northern New Mexico, in the high desert.
Uh-huh.
A friend of ours, a neighbor, was a builder of ecologically friendly homes for 30 years. He had an amazing business. High-end homes. He employed 30 or 40 full-time people working with him.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, he agreed to do a new project, and that was the very year that not only the economy crashed, but the housing market crashed.
Sure.
And he was stuck. He said, what am I going to do? He was struggling. He at first tried to recreate what he knew in a world where it no longer fit.
Uh-huh.
And he woke up in the middle of the night, and he asked the question. He said, what is it that people really need? And he said, they don't need homes like I build anymore, at least not now.
Uh-huh.
He said, they do need to learn to grow their own food. His name is Ken,
uh-huh.
And Ken began to prototype, model, and build modular raised bed greenhouses that are all weather. They're covered. They're heated. They water themselves. They can be used indoors or outdoors. They can be 12 inches square on a balcony in New York where there's no land,
uh-huh.
or they can be 4 feet by 8 feet, multiple units. Here in New Mexico, my wife and I have two of them. He now is having so much fun. He is thriving in this environment, sharing with people his skills in a way that makes sense in the world, the new normal.
Right.
He will probably never build another home again. And this is, it's just a very simple example. He didn't try to recreate what he's always known or what his experience was in or his degree or his certificate.
Uh-huh.
He said, how can I contribute to the world that is in my own face, in my own backyard? What do my neighbors need right now? And now he's shipping these things all over the world.
What a great story.
So it's a beautiful example, and I know all of our listeners can relate to this in some way. What can you... And the word give for a lot of people is a hot-button word.
Sure.
And so that's why I give other alternatives. If you don't like the word give, what can I share? What can I contribute? What can I offer?
And don't you think, Greg, it's really about what we can give from our true nature, what we're inspired to give, as opposed to should give?
Absolutely. And every one of us, beyond the degrees and the certificates, we all have passions in life.
Sure.
Things maybe we've called hobbies in the past that we maybe even know better than our own jobs because they were our passions. If that is true for you, that's listening to this program today, the world is calling. The universe is tapping you on the shoulder saying, we need your gifts right now, and this is the perfect opportunity to ask yourself that question based upon the science that tells us how deeply connected and how really deeply cooperative we really are.
And that's a wonderful final message here. Unfortunately, our hour is just about up. First, Greg, can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you on the Internet?
Sure. I have actually my publisher, Hay House, has a beautiful website, www.gregbraden.com. It's Greg with two G's, GregBraden.com. They have a video library of past events, all kinds of information, and the schedule of every live event that I'm doing now, actually into 2015, is noted on that schedule. I just looked at it this morning.
Yeah, and of course you're coming here to Seattle to the Center for Spiritual Living with Dr. Joe Dispenza on November 16th, and I think that on Joe's website it's called Get Your Shift Together. I have to be careful how I say that on the website.
It does. I'm Joe's guest.
Over there. Oh, here.
Joe invited me to come and share in the program that he created, Get Your Shift Together, and I'm honored and absolutely thrilled to be with our friends in Seattle.
Yeah, well, I can't wait, and I'm going to be there. I hope that all of my listeners here in the Seattle area have an opportunity to do that as well. Thank you so much, Greg, for being here today and for sharing your wisdom and for sharing your deep truth of a message of hope.
Oh, Christine, thank you so much. I look forward to the next time.
Okay, great. And that's just about it for us here today, but a couple of announcements. In addition to the November 16th event with Greg and Dr. Joe, I'd also want to point out to you that I've got an event coming up on the weekend before, November 9th. I'm going to be talking about vibrational ease, what it is and how important it is for changing from where we're at right now to where we want to go. Thanks so much for joining me here today on the Christine Upchurch Show. Talk to everybody next week.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Views expressed on the preceding program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. Contests mentioned during this program are the responsibility of the host of this program and not of the station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Happy Friday, Eric Ryder here with you on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're approaching noontime for a quick look at our traffic. Well, northbound 167 having a lot of trouble at this hour. South 22nd right up to the 405 interchange is stop and go. Southbound I-5 is slow from Northeast 85th on down to the 520 interchange. Stay tuned to Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. We've got the Susan Harmon Hour coming up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Luke Russert in Washington. Shots fired at LAX Airport in Los Angeles. According to KNBC, witnesses say a man with a rifle managed to get by security. Police have a suspect in custody. NBC's Pete Williams has more.
We've now been told by several federal officials that one TSA employee was shot and killed during this encounter. One was shot in the leg and wounded. One other person, the reports say, was wounded. We don't know whether that was the gun or another passenger at the airport.
NBC's Mike Taibbi has the latest from the airport in L.A.
Ground traffic into LAX by roadway has been restricted right now, cut off in most access roads. And at the airport itself, LAX, one of the busiest in the country, has a ground stop, meaning incoming flights are stopped on the tarmac.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.